I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button, and there it is. The iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls. The holidays are on their way, and it's never too early to get your shopping done. So why not have fun with it? Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll find products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the US. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. I found the perfect customizable gift for the foodies in my life and immediately added to cart. It's a personalized family recipe serving board that you could either hand write and scan a recipe onto or type it on, and it is so special. And of course, I had to get myself a little something because I found this Christmas movie play-along card game, and I cannot wait to play this on our Christmas movie marathon nights, which you know we will have plenty of. Uncommon Goods just has something for everyone, from parents to kids and teens, from book lovers to football fans, all of your family and friends, and even you yourself are covered. And with every purchase you make, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/forthegirls. That's uncommongoods.com/forthegirls for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about five ways being single helped me. And there are tons of ways, but I really wanted to break this down to the most important things that I want the single girls to hear and to know, because I have been getting a lot of messages and comments from girls just kind of running out of patience in a sense, and asking for dating advice and things in regards to guys that they know they don't even want to be with, but they just don't feel great about themselves. I got a message from someone saying something like, can you put out more for girls like me who have been single for a long time that are really struggling, especially when like they have an ex that they, not even to say that they want to be with, but like they're still kind of hung up on. Because I think a lot of girls, as they get into like their later 20s and 30s, they reflect when they had that long-term relationship when they were younger, and they're like, damn, if I would have just stuck it out, I would have someone right now. I would be in a relationship right now. But at the end of the day, if you know it's not the right relationship for you, then it's better off that you're single, because then you'd be blocking your blessings from meeting a new person. But they're struggling with the mindset of like, I could have had someone right now. And then they start to romanticize and overthink, like, did I do too much? Like, was I overreacting? Did I make a bigger deal than it needed to be? So I am here today to just give you some peace of mind and maybe ease your mind and ease your anxious thoughts and try to help in any way that I can for the girls who are in that like boat, who are riding the struggle bus. And trust me, that was me. If anyone can relate, let it be me. Don't ever be fooled by what you see on social media. Don't look at like, oh, but you know, she has this and she has that and now she has this relationship and you know, she's unrelatable. Like, I've been told that my content is like not as popular anymore because I'm not relatable anymore. And that to me is like so sad, because I feel like if anything, my content should be more it should be showing that I am proof of sticking to your standards and sticking to your boundaries and sticking to what you say that you want for yourself. Like, if anything, it makes me that much more credible to be in this relationship now, because I was single for all of my 20s. My last boyfriend prior to now was my high school, my boyfriend in high school. I dated guys in college and after college, but never a serious committed relationship. I had like short-term flings and guys that liked me and maybe I was like exclusive with, but not at that stage of like boyfriend, girlfriend, meeting each other's families, really investing into each other, like totally single throughout all of my 20s. So that was a 10-year span between, you know, breaking up with a high school boyfriend at 18 to meeting my now adult boyfriend at a week before I turned 28. For those 10 years, I was in the exact same boat that you girls are in now. And I did put out a TikTok saying like, what do I need to do more of? Or what am I missing? Because, you know, my content used to be viral every single video. I feel like my lowest views would be like 30 to 50,000 views. And I remember when my videos would get like 50,000 views or less, I'd be like, oh, stressing. Like, why is that video doing so bad? Like, I wanted every video to have six-figure views, like 100,000 and more. Now, I feel like I'm barely even getting 5,000. It's hard to break 10,000. To me now, if a video breaks 10 to 15,000, that's like a really good performing video on TikTok. And so because of that, you know, I made a video and I asked like what the deal is, and I had a bunch of comments and people saying like, I still love your content, but I think my opinion would probably be that it's because your content isn't relatable anymore. And I'm like, what? Like, I feel like I would be the poster child for the single girls. Like, I would be the most relatable there is. And to show you that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, if you do deeply desire a relationship, I'm proof that you can have that after being single for a long time. So it is unfortunate to hear things like that. I don't really know what I'm doing wrong on social media, but I can't grasp that it would be the fact that like, oh, now you got a boyfriend, so we can't relate, because I am still here for you girls. Like, I understand more than anyone. Like, most people had serious relationships at some points in their 20s, whether it was one or three, five. Like, I know girls who had new boyfriends as soon as they broke up with the last boyfriend. So trust me when I say, I get you, okay? I wanted to make sure that is super, super, super clear, because I resonate. And so I've been really thinking about it and reflecting, especially for those messages, like I said, where the girls are struggling a little bit with being single for such a long period of time. And I realized, like, those years, like, molded me personally, professionally. Like, I found all of my career success during those years. I bettered myself, and I feel like I became the best version of me throughout those years. And so you cannot take that season for granted. You have to really, really, really appreciate that season that you're in. Quite frankly, I think that we all need to appreciate every single season we're in, even the low times, the hard times, even those toxic relationships, even those unhealthy relationships, because you learn from them and you're able to do better and make better choices and, you know, decisions for yourself as you get older and whatnot because of those times. So even if that season is one that you look back on and you're like, oh God, you know, like I regret those things or whatever the case is, it still is a season that you should have a little bit of gratitude for, because now you know what you know. You wouldn't know what you know now if you hadn't gone through those moments, you know? So let's get into it. Had to give like that full background there, but I'm gonna share with you now 5 ways that being single helped me. Starting off with kind of what I was just saying, which is learning myself and becoming the most confident version of me. Now, I've always been a pretty confident person, but I really took that time during my 20s to be, well, I'm not out of my 20s yet, but during my younger 20s, I'm still 29, okay? To get really intentional about my confidence. And it wasn't just about like mindset and thinking like, yeah, I love myself, like I'm great. It was like getting confident out in the world and feeling like, you know, the most like independent and mature like version of myself. So I was solo traveling. I was taking myself on solo dates, which a lot of girls struggle with. A lot of girls won't even go out to eat alone. And I feel like I used to get questions about that all the time, because I would post like on my story, like a picture and saying like, you know, solo lunch date or dinner date or whatever, TikToks. And girls were always asking like, where do you get the confidence to do that? So that's what I mean when I say becoming the most confident version of me, like putting myself in maybe uncomfortable positions or what would be uncomfortable for most people. But I got comfortable with the uncomfortable because I kind of forced myself to do so. So, you know, I did hobbies like I talked about a few times. I picked up pottery, you know, and I immersed myself in this hobby where I sucked at it, but I didn't even really set goals for myself to like get that good at it. I just did it for fun and I made friends and I put myself again in like what would be an uncomfortable position, because I feel like people don't even consider spending time on hobbies for themselves as, you know, adults. They think of hobbies as like a kid thing, like being on a sports team or whatever. But, you know, women, as we get older, we tend to lose ourselves because we have to be everything for everyone and for ourselves too. So we're always busy and we're always working and we're always cooking and cleaning and like doing all the things, but we don't really make time for fun per se, or we don't even think about it. Not even about making time for it. It's just not even an option. It's not even something that we consider doing. So again, it goes back to that intentionality where I say like, I got really, really intentional. And I think, you know, having that class and holding myself accountable to that like pottery class and going every week and showing up and making new friends and asking questions and not being good at it and comparing to other people and like looking at our stuff and saying, wow, you did great, or how'd you do this, and just like whatever, like all of those things ultimately built my confidence. It increased my communication skills, my conversation skills, my social skills. You know, going up to people, starting new conversation, random conversation in what could be considered awkward or uncomfortable for some people. And also, like I mentioned earlier, you know, that time period while being single, I became financially successful too. You know, I built successful businesses from scratch, including this podcast. So between all the different businesses that I launched on social media and did through social media, I was able to completely like, you know, immerse myself and engage myself in these things because I didn't have anyone to answer to. I didn't have anyone like relying on me per se. I didn't have to make the time and make the room for anyone else or be like as considerate of anyone else. Like, you know, there's things now that I don't share on social media because I have somebody else to worry about. And that's, I'm not saying that in a bad way at all. I'm just saying that it's a different way. You know, when I was single and building up that like TikTok content, all my videos were about my dates and about sharing these story times and like certain things about guys that now I wouldn't talk about out of respect for my partner. I'm not going to get on TikTok and share dating stories or talk about guys and those things because why would I? I'm in a relationship now. So that's why, you know, I talk about my current life, but I can't be as like open and honest and, you know, transparent, whatever the case is, as I once was, because at that time I was able to just share these experiences because I had nothing to lose. Now I have a boyfriend who's not into social media, who doesn't want his private business on social media, so I can't really share like all of those deep private things the way that I used to. I share the little things and whatever I feel like, okay, that's not really like telling people about our relationship. But, you know, of course there's so many things that I could have said, oh, he did this for me and he did that for me. And like, you girls would, you would swoon, like, don't ever settle until you have someone who does this and that. But he's like, no, keep those things that I do for you private, you know? And so of course that like inner content creator wants to share it. But then as a person in a relationship who's mature, I have to say, okay, my relationship comes before making, you know, content out of it. So I have to respect those wishes. So my point being, like, I wouldn't have been able to do the things that I did through social media and build the audiences and the businesses that I did if I had a relationship that entire time. So this is your time now to be selfish. This is your time now to put yourself first and do everything that you want to do. Put out the cringy content, post whatever you want, share the stories, like get out there because why not? Realistically, you have nothing to lose and you only really have yourself to worry about. So take all the time that you possibly can now to be as selfish as you possibly can, because this is your time to do that. Because trust me, once you have that relationship, you won't be able to. Let's go on to number two. The second way that being single helped me was learning what I don't want. Going through bad dating experiences, horror stories, like I mentioned, that I used to share on social media, or even nice interactions, you know, good guys that I went out with, that I had good dating experiences with, that I could just feel weren't my guy. All of that taught me what I don't want, and it helped me be able to have like a stronger picker or a better picker, and it allowed me to stop giving guys a chance when I knew I did not want to give guys a chance because I wanted to just know, like, this is the guy for me. The best part about all of this was that whether it was a good or bad experience, it at least put me out there. It at least got me out there and gave me more experience in the dating world. I always say confidence is a byproduct of action. You don't get confident first and then take action. You take action and then you get confident. And a lot of girls struggle with dating because they don't want to go on dates at all. Or they already like psych themselves out of the date in the first place. They tell themselves, well, like, I don't know if I'm gonna like him, or I don't know, like, whatever the case is, they avoid going on the date. They look forward to being canceled on and all these different things because they feel weird, they feel uncomfortable. But to me, I say, the more that you go on a date, I don't care, even if you know ahead of time, like, I don't know, like, if he's the guy for me, you at least are building up your confidence around dating. You at least are getting better at answering questions and asking questions and making these conversations with guys. You're at least learning the dating scene by putting yourself into the dating scene. Because you can't be single and dating and blah, blah, blah without going on dates. You have to be going on dates. And it's not to say that, like, you'll miss what's for you, because it's not possible. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you have to go on dates because what if that's your guy? That can't be, because if it is your guy, it'll happen. Even if you bailed on the date with him, you'd end up bumping into him in the grocery store, then realizing how cute he is, and then reaching back out, and then it'll all work out. Like, it will work out if it's your guy. So I'm not afraid of you missing out on your guy, but you'll be better at dating and better prepared by the time that you do meet your guy. And again, it's not like you can possibly ruin or miss what's for you, but you want to go into dating as like the best version of yourself and having fun and loving your life and seeing dating as a good thing, not seeing dating as like this chore that you have to do. And you'll ultimately feel better about it. And your mindset will shift around dating to like, okay, maybe that date sucked, but at least I learned what I don't want. You're only going to learn what you don't want by experiencing things that don't make you feel good. And that's the unfortunate truth, is like, you might not realize that something bothers you or you feel a certain way about something until you experience it happening. You might be like, you know, I think a coffee date sounds like a great idea. Until then, you go on a coffee date with someone and you're like, actually, I don't want to do that. That does not feel good to me. You might think, oh, I have no problem splitting the bill with a guy. Until you go on a date, split the bill, and you're like, actually, that didn't feel good at all. But the good part is, now you know. And therefore, your entire mind frame around dating can shift to something more positive because you can see the good that comes with the bad. Number three, the third way that being single helped me was that I matured so much during that time period that I was able to really like step back and kind of look at that chapter of my life from start to finish and see how different I was at the beginning versus at the end, and realizing like all of the things that I once overlooked. And I'm not even just talking about the difference between like, yeah, I was 18 and then 28. So yeah, of course I was different in high school compared to the way that I am now as, you know, an adult. But I even mean just like a difference of a few years, you know, the difference of me in 2020 versus 2023. And, you know, so I'm not even talking about only over a span of 10 years, but just even as a woman who was single and dating and going through different seasons, like I saw how much I let go. Like I was like, oh, that's fine. Like not a big deal. Like overlooking like red flags, ignoring my gut feelings, ignoring my intuition, seeing how my standards have changed, my values, not even that my values changed, but they got stronger, you know, seeing that evolution as I got older. And like, okay, in the beginning, I would make excuses for certain things, but now as I'm older, you know, I'm like, wow, I'm so firm in my values now that I would just never deal with that. I would never settle for that. But that comes with time and maturing. I also think that what comes with maturing and getting older is having less patience for bullshit. You know, we deal with bullshit as young girls, especially when you're like that college age, maybe a little bit after your young 20s, where like you're constantly kind of surrounded by guys. And we, you know, like, okay, saying in college, for example, like we have no sense of like standards or anything because it's like the hookup culture. You're like deep in that. It's a little different when you're completely out of it and away from it and you don't really like hang out with guys as much. Like I haven't really hung out with a friend group like that every weekend and, you know, always together with guys in a long time. So like at that time, you know, you would just accept whatever, like hooking up, hanging out, texting, like at night, you know, 11 o'clock at night, getting a text from someone, what's up, what are you doing? Like, we would put up with that shit, you know, 22, 23 years old. Then you get older and you just have no patience for that. Like, you cannot even text me, like, same day to make plans. You know, it's like, if you want plans with me, you gotta plan that shit out days in advance, if not a week before. You know, you gotta give a girl a little bit of time because we have our schedule is planned out. Or even if we don't have plans, say that it's
a Thursday or a Friday, like we're coming down to the wire, and I don't have plans for a Friday night, my plans at that point are to stay home. I'm going to stay in, I'm going to cook, or I'm going to order food, I'm going to clean, I'm going to reset. Like, those are my plans. So now you can't text me Thursday or Friday, like at the last minute, and be like, what's up? Want to hang out? Like, absolutely not, because now that's my me time. So you just realize as you get older, like, I do not put up with bullshit. I do not have the time, the patience. Like, I refuse to make the time for that. Even if I had the time, I'm not going to carve out that free time for people. You know, you start to reserve that time for yourself. And the other thing too is that as you mature, your priorities shift in different ways. Like, it's not just about, wow, my standards got so much higher, I overlooked so much in the past, now I would never settle for these things, I'm a million times better and everything is like more difficult to gain access to me. It's not only that, it's also realizing how unimportant certain things are that you may have once thought were. Like, I look back at old lists of things that I thought were a priority, and I realize that a lot of those things are at like the bottom of my totem pole and not something that were like do or die, you know? And it's not about lowering your standards, it's just about realizing that's actually not as important to me as I thought it would be. Once I like got into my relationship and saw all of the great things, there were definitely things on my list that I had put that is not necessarily present in my relationship that doesn't even matter at all. I have friends who have boyfriends or husbands who are like true Instagram boyfriends or husbands for them, like around the clock taking content of them, on vacation taking content of them, and like that used to be something that I always thought was like really important. I especially have a friend who had a boyfriend who like killed it with her social media stuff, and you know, everywhere they went, they got all the best pictures, couple pictures, pictures of just her, whatever, like just absolutely killed it with her content. And to me, I was like, that is fucking goals. Like, I need to have someone like that. Now, as I'm in my relationship, not saying that my boyfriend wouldn't take pictures of me, but he doesn't love that stuff. He's not great at that stuff. And I don't even want that, because I love to just chill and relax on vacation with him, and I do not want to spend time on like making content. Like, we just went to Aruba and he took some selfies of me in my outfits, and it was like one and done. Like, we weren't like scouting the whole property for like the best aesthetic. Like, we literally took every single picture, pictures of us and pictures of me alone, in the same exact spot. Like, if you look at my Instagram, you'll see every single picture is literally in the same spot, right in front of the palapas and the palm trees. Like, I just don't have that energy or desire anymore to like take time on vacation with my boyfriend to, you know, spend so much time doing like social media content. And in the past, I really thought like that was something that I deeply desired, something that would be really important to me. And like, that was my reality when I was single. Like, I very much cared about that. And, you know, whether it was like my mom or whoever I was with on vacation, like I would take them and spend a lot of time, an hour, 2 hours every day shooting tons of content, all different outfits. I was packing outfits, like overpacking, taking things that I knew I wasn't even going to wear. Like, they weren't outfits to wear to dinner. They were just outfits that I would take on vacation to shoot pictures in, because it's like, all right, I'm gonna go to this tropical location and it's gonna be hot, but it's winter back at home, so let me take extra summer outfits so I can shoot a bunch of things. And like, when I would go on vacation, even if I was there for I don't know, 6 days, I had a month's worth of content. I would be able to post the pictures from that trip for weeks and weeks and weeks, because I took at least 3 outfit pictures a day, maybe 4. So, you know, those 6 days, I really had like 20, 24 pictures, you know? And anyway, I'm sharing all that because that was my reality when I was making those lists. I'm like, wait till I have a boyfriend or a husband. He's gonna be like the ultimate Instagram husband. He's gonna have to get all my angles. And like, yes, when I have my boyfriend take a picture of me, I absolutely tell him my angles. I'm like, you gotta get this way, you gotta get that way. Like, he knows the way I like a picture. But either way, it's like a 5-minute process rather than like an hour walking around the hotel looking for certain, like, you know, aesthetics and whatnot. Because I just don't want that. I don't want to have to rush to get ready, you know, or waste time on vacation doing that.
Let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin. And I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite. And honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off. You girls know I'm always sharing my latest book recommendations, and I have to tell you about the book I just finished, Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. You wouldn't think a romance starring a demon hero could feel cozy, but it could. This is a light paranormal romance with a grumpy sunshine dynamic, one of the biggest fan favorite reader tropes, and I mean it quite literally. She's an angel named Sunshine, and he's a demon with a forgotten past. It's forbidden love, found family, and pure popcorn reading fun. Think fantasy, but rom-com. I was laughing out loud and totally swooning by the end. This one is perfect for spooky season, but without the dark vibes. Just humor, heart, and heat, because of course us girls love a little bit of spice. This was one of those books where I picked it up one night planning to read just a few chapters, but then ended up staying up until 2 a.m. because I could not stop. So Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher is on sale now wherever books are sold, and you've got to make sure to grab the gorgeous deluxe edition before it's gone. Calling all the girls who love a spicy romance novel, it is time to binge read the Second Son series from bestselling author Emily Rath. I just read the second book of the trilogy, His Grace the Duke, and this one is complete with not one, but three very different suitors. Each one will try anything, risk anything, and be anything our leading lady needs. But as for her, she can't help but wonder, why choose? I wasn't just reading, I was blushing, laughing, and fanning myself quite a lot. It's smart, sexy, and gives you all the emotional payoff with none of the outdated tropes. I am telling you girls, this ultra steamy book is not your mother's Regency romance. If you love the humor and heart of Jane Austen and the sexy vibes of Bridgerton, this series is definitely for you. Re-releasing with a gorgeous new cover and sprayed edges, His Grace the Duke is available wherever books are sold starting October 28th. I recently just talked on the show about wanting to try some gummies, and guess what I found? Organic, farm-grown, never lab-made, ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. I have a Bliss gummy during the daytime for a clean, simple boost when I need clear focus, and a Snoozers gummy when it's time to wind down and actually end the day. The philosophy is simple: great ingredients, real botanicals, nothing extra. It feels clean and intentional, and it fits right into my schedule. You've got to see for yourself. Grab 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code FORTHEGIRLS. That's secretnature.com, code FORTHEGIRLS.
And there's tons of different things that I had on my lists that I, you know, thought were going to be really important that just ultimately are no longer important. And that all came with age and it came with maturing. And you really won't realize until you're in that position. But yeah, you start to see like what's important to have in your relationship and what's not. And half the time, those things on your list are going to end up at the bottom of your totem pole if you do wait, you know, years and years. Because if you wrote it at 24 and then you don't get in that relationship until you're, I don't know, 30, trust me, your needs are going to change. And it's also important to know that there's a difference between a want and a need. Because it's like they say, like, relationships are about compromise. And there might be some things that you want, but you don't necessarily need. And that also comes with age and maturing. Like, you really don't realize the difference until you're in that position. Like, for me, I definitely have learned in relationships that words of affirmation is absolutely a need for me. Like, I would never be able to go without words of affirmation, which I always knew I wanted, but it wasn't until I got into a relationship that I realized, like, no, this is the most important thing for me. Like, words are literally everything for me. Whereas a want for me was like, I want to live with a boyfriend right away. Like, that was what I thought that I wanted. And when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, I loved my boyfriend very early on and I would have lived with him early on, but I didn't need to. I wanted to and I would, but now that we're together for a year, and we still don't live together yet, I'm so much happier with how we did it because I wouldn't want either of us to move in with the other. I want it to be like our place, you know what I mean? And people have said that to me, like, you know, you moved back to Staten Island, you got this big apartment, why don't you live together? And I'm like, because this is my place. And to me, it's so much more important that we have something that is our place. Even if I would have wanted to live together, I'm so glad that it wasn't a necessity and it wasn't urgent and that we didn't rush and jump the gun. And also, like, I do think that I've been influenced by friends or even social media and seeing how quickly other people move that you think you want to move that quickly. Like, why are you together for a year and you don't live together yet? Like, that it's actually not that long of time when you think about it. Like, this time last year, he was practically a stranger. I only knew him for a couple of weeks. So, you know, now that I think about it, I'm like, okay, that's a want, not a need. So you start to learn the difference between those two things as you mature. Next up, the fourth way that being single helped me was that I really adapted the mindset that this is the most free I will ever, ever, ever be in my life. So let me take advantage of that while I'm in it. It's kind of like what I said a little bit in the beginning when I was talking about being selfish. And I think, yes, that's all important and relevant, but that's not even what I mean with this one. For me, this was about having the urgency to do the things that I want to do now and to make my dreams come true now, because I'll never be this young. I'll never be this independent. I'll never be, like I said, this free. Like, this is the hottest I'll ever be. Like, one day I'll be 70 and looking back like, wow, I was so beautiful. Like, you know, the show that was on Netflix One Day when she's like, you know, I was quite gorgeous in my 20s, but I didn't think it at the time. And that just like gave me the chill saying. And it's so true. Like, one day you'll be older and looking back saying like, I was fucking gorgeous in my 20s. Was I crazy? Like, I should have put myself out there more. Like, one day you will look back on it and say like, I wish I saw what a blessing that time period was while I was in it, rather than realizing it 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, you know? Like, I'd rather know while I'm in my 20s that these are the best days of my life and this is such a blessing to have this, you know, season of freedom, instead of waiting till I'm 40 and saying, wow, I'll never be 20 again. I wish I could have my 20s back. Saying, wow, you know, what a time that was. And I didn't do like all the things I wanted to do like I should have done, you know? And to me, I think when I really realized this was, I feel like there was a time period where I started to feel like my person was coming, like it was gonna happen for me soon. So I was like thinking about all the things that I want to do, but then I'm gonna wait to do till I'm with that person. And I think for some things, you can have, you know, those lists of like, okay, these are things I really want to do with a partner. And maybe you want to save them to be like super duper special. But make sure that those are things that you really, really are okay with waiting for, as opposed to things that you want to do now, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till I do this with someone. Like, I don't want to do this alone. Like, I don't want you to get too wrapped up in waiting for things to do with a partner because you want it to be the first time that you do it. Because realistically, I think it'll still be just as special. You know, even if it's not the first time you've ever done that thing, it'll be the first time you ever do it together. And like, for example, like one of those things that I have been okay with like waiting for example, was going to a place like Greece. Like, I love Greece, but to me, it seems... Wait, what am I saying? I love Greece. That was like a lie, basically. I meant to say like, I've always wanted to go to Greece. I've never been. I don't love it. I love it from the pictures, okay? I don't even know why I said I love Greece. That just kind of like rolled off the tongue. But what I meant to say was, I would love to go to Greece. I've always wanted to go to Greece. But for me, Greece to me reminds me of like honeymoon vibes, romance vibes. So I've been okay with like not going. Like, I genuinely feel like I wouldn't have any regrets, you know, around not going. As opposed to like, one of my dream things to like do with a partner was always having my dream like Christmas date in the city and like doing all the things. And I got to have that with my boyfriend this Christmas for the first time, and it was amazing and so special. But all of that Christmas stuff is so important to me that I've always gone and done those things over the years. I've never done it with a man, so it was still extremely special because I got to do it with him for the first time and be in love and just have the best time. But I never like held myself back from doing those things just because I always dreamed of doing it with a partner. For me, it's like, no, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do the Christmas things and I'm gonna do the ice skating in the city and see the lights and all this stuff because it's something that like I really want to do. And those are just minor examples, but I think just in general, like I said in the beginning, like the solo travel, like all of the things, building the successful businesses, like making your dreams come true, no matter how big or small, this is your season to do it. Don't stress wanting something to be your first, unless it's something that you're like 100 bajillion quadruple million percent okay with. That's not even a number, but okay with waiting for, you know? And that's like my Greece is like, okay, I could wait for that. Like, I wouldn't be mad if like my first time that I went to Greece was for my honeymoon, you know? Like, I'd be okay with holding it for that. But there's so many other things in life where I found myself holding myself back from wanting to do things because I'm like, oh, I really want to do this with a guy, blah, blah, blah. But I ended up just saying, fuck it, and doing just about everything that I really wanted to do and making all the things happen, no matter how big or small, like I said, because this is my season to do it. I will never be this young again. Today, right now, as I speak, is the youngest I will ever be for the rest of my life. Even tomorrow, I will be older. In a few months, I will be 30, you know, like you think, oh, I'm 29, I'm so old, oh my god, I'm almost gonna be 30. But then when you think about it, you're like, shit, I'm 29. So this is the youngest I'll ever be right now, because then after this, I will be in my 30s. So take advantage of this time while you have it, especially the freedom of like not being a homeowner, not being a wife, not being a mother, like, trust me, you're not gonna have that sort of freedom when the time comes. And so there will come a time in your life where you will absolutely mourn this season. And you might not see it now because maybe now you feel lonely and you're like, I just wanna be a mom. I just wanna be a wife. And that's all true. I want that just as much as the next. I have always wanted to be a mom since I was a little girl. And if you listen to For the Girls since way back when, I feel like I talk about that in literally the very first episode. Like, for me, it's always been about wanting to be a full-time mom, a stay-at-home mom, a wife. I want to take care of a husband and kids. I want to take care of a home, a family. Like, that has always, always, always been my deepest desire and wish in life. And so, trust me when I say I get it. I understand feeling lonely, but I also have that like awareness that when that time comes, I guarantee that I will find myself grieving or mourning this life. Not saying I wish I could go back. Not saying I wish I didn't have kids, because that's not the case. It's accepting I have my kids. I love my kids. I love my family. This is the best, you know, like most beautiful time of my life. But I did not appreciate the season of freedom while I had it. And so I feel like developing that awareness really made me go like as hard as I possibly could now, because one day it's not going to be all about me. This is that season of life where I could put myself first 100% of the time. And if I don't appreciate it now, I'm just going to regret it one day. And I'm just going to look back one day and wish that I had. So I'd rather just do it now, make everything happen for myself, and get to look back and say, I'm so glad that I did all of that. And lastly, number 5, the fifth way that being single helped me was that I learned the type of partner I wanted to be. Not just the partner I wanted to have and receive, the partner I want to be before being thrown into a relationship. And I'm not saying like you can't be in a relationship first. You absolutely can. You don't have to like do all the inner work and know all of the things and discover yourself before getting into a relationship, because relationships just happen and they happen naturally and they happen in divine timing exactly when and how they're meant to and supposed to. And that's absolutely true and fair. However, in my case, because I was single for such a long period of time and I really worked on myself, I found it to be a plus. I found it to be a benefit that I got to spend that time to figure out, to really like call myself out on my own bullshit and to hold myself accountable and figure out what version, like who do I want to be as a woman, as a partner, as a wife? Like how do I want to show up? And I feel like throughout so much of my single period and season, I was very much embodied in my masculine energy because 90% of my time was like consumed with work and I was really hustling and I was building businesses and making a lot of money and doing all the career stuff that, of course, I operated out of my masculine energy. And so sometimes that translated like through just like my daily life, and it shifted from being like my professional or career energy into being my like personal energy. And I had, you know, really picked up on that on a personal level. And so it took me a long time to shift into my feminine energy. And I feel like now I'm so embodied in my feminine energy, but it was not always like that. It took me the time to say like, okay, if I'm gonna, you know, really like draft up my dream guy, I have to be the dream version of me. And there are things that I am not happy with about myself. Not to say that I'm like insecure about, but just that like I don't want to be. There are things that whether I, you know, develop them from trauma or just kind of like fell into that habit from constantly being disappointed and just feeling like I need to only rely on myself. And I found that there were certain times that my like self-love or independence could become toxic because I had that like no one can do it the way I do it type of mentality. And I actually have a podcast episode about that. I think it's literally titled Self-Care, Independence, and When It Becomes Toxic. And I put that out because I could relate so much. Like I was using my independence as like a weapon at some point, as like a shield. Like I would take that independence and like cover myself up with it to block myself from being disappointed, to block myself from being hurt and being let down. And I was using that mentality to be like, I don't need anyone. You can't hurt me. I'm so tough. Like all of these things. And like, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to allow myself to be vulnerable and to be emotional and to just feel like a girl. Like, I don't want to have that like masculine, manly mindset of like, no one can hurt me. I don't need anyone but myself. I didn't want to be that. I wanted to need someone. I wanted to be able to rely on people. And it took me a while to get good at receiving and asking for help and letting myself rely on people, because I like had such a control freak manner about myself because that's how I was with work. Like with work, to me, it was like, no one works as hard as I do. No one has the same mindset that I do when it comes to work. People don't get it the way that I do. And so I've really developed like a control freak way with work and wanting everything to go exactly as I want it and exactly when I want it. And that started to, you know, definitely shift into like my everyday life. And I feel like I had such a way about like sharing that. Like, it's almost like I wasn't having genuine conversations and like opening up to guys and saying like how I feel and being expressive. I kind of was like very short. Like, it was either do or don't. Like, you either get it or you don't. And I didn't even like explain. Like, I don't really know how to put into words what I mean, but I just feel like I maybe wasn't the nicest to guys. Like, I would be, like I said, really short, really like, okay, just get out of my face. Like, you don't understand where I'm coming from, so like, you're done here. As opposed to having like heart-to-heart deep conversations about like why I feel this way or why I am the way I am or why you are the way you are, and like taking time to really get to know each other. It was more of just like, what is it, like pass or fail, you know? And like every single guy failed so quickly because I didn't like have the space for like feelings and emotion. It was just like, okay, no, you don't get it, goodbye, you're done. If you're not gonna do it exactly how I want it, then you're done. And I feel like it took years of self-awareness, reflecting, to really be able to identify behaviors that I don't like, behaviors that might be considered toxic, or just, you know, some, whether it's toxic or not, it's just like, I don't want to be that way. I don't want men to see me that way. I don't want a partner to think of me like that. I want to be, you know, kind and girly and feminine and all the things. And it was definitely hard to make that shift, but it just took being really conscious and really intentional. And I feel like one of the ways where I really like called myself out on my own shit was back years ago, I used to think guys were intimidated by me. And this is like really masculine energy of me. And I felt like because I was successful at a young age and I was like getting shit done and, you know, boss girl, like had it all going for me, I felt like guys were intimidated by that. And so I'm like, that's why things don't work out with guys. They're intimidated by me. They're intimidated by my energy. They're intimidated by my success. They can't handle it. And I used to convince myself of that until really like learning from outside resources, learning from within, you know, from myself, that like, that's not necessarily true. There may be guys that get intimidated by, you know, really successful women, but typically those are just unsuccessful guys, because successful guys are not going to be intimidated by successful women. And I wasn't necessarily dating unsuccessful guys. I wasn't necessarily dating low self-esteemed guys. I wasn't dating insecure, unsuccessful guys. So why would they have been intimidated by me? Why was I convincing myself of that? The truth was, they just don't like it. They don't like dating women whose career is their entire life. They don't want to be in a relationship with someone who's constantly like trying to do the most at all times and having no free time for just like hanging out. I remember like times where there were guys that I was seeing and I was constantly like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I have to work. I couldn't even sit still. Like, I just, it was so not my thing. Like, I was constantly on the phone, had no like boundaries when it came to work. It was like, work comes first and you might not even come second. Like, you might come third or fourth. So I had to take little steps to change that. Like, I got myself a separate phone, a work phone, so that I wasn't on the phone 24/7. I wasn't taking the phone out with me on the weekends when I was going to dinner, because there was times where I was out, you know, whether it was on a date or even just with friends, I'm out, it's a Saturday night and my phone is blowing up and I'm on the phone and I'm not present in the moment because I'm working. And so when I got my work phone is when I, I got a personal phone. So when I got a personal phone, that original phone that I had, that would be the phone that would stay home. I wouldn't take it out to dinner. I wouldn't take it out on the weekends. Like, I really gave myself that space and that boundary to have a personal life outside of a work life. And, you know, like I said, these guys, they were not first priority, second, they were barely third. They were like pretty low on my list of priorities, but I knew that I wanted someone to be a top priority. I wanted to change that. I wanted my guy to be like my number one priority, but it wasn't going to happen until I started looking inward and making changes, you know, for myself and on myself and within. And so all of these little things between getting the phone and just like changing things up, changing my work hours, telling myself I'm not gonna work till 10 o'clock at night anymore, like whatever the case is, I really started to implement these things that ultimately helped me separate my masculine and my feminine energy and learn when and how to lean on both and balance both. It really took getting as conscious as I possibly can and stop living subconsciously and doing things just because, like, oh, that's just the type of person I am. That's just how I am. It really took changing that mentality and saying, okay, well, I don't want that. I don't want to just do what I've always done. I don't want to just live on autopilot mode. I don't want to just be like, well, that's just how I am, so take it or leave it, because guess what? People are going to leave it if they don't like it. And if I don't even like it either, why would I do that? Like, why would I be a certain way if it's clearly not working out in relationships, they're not lasting, and it's clearly not working out with me internally because I'm unhappy with that behavior. So it really took living my life super mindfully and super consciously to say, okay, these are the things that not only I'm looking for in someone, but these are the things that I want to be. I want to embody. I don't just want someone who prioritizes me. I want to be someone who prioritizes him. I don't just want someone who is compassionate and empathetic. I want to be a compassionate and empathetic partner. And so on and so forth. The list goes on and on. But for me, I think really embodying my feminine energy and tapping into like almost like a more maternal and caring version of myself, that was a huge priority because I just like did not give a fuck for the longest time. But the thing was, like, deep down, like, I did give a fuck and I wanted to give a fuck. So I had to learn how to really show it and embody it. So like I said, don't get it twisted. I am not saying that you cannot get into a happy and healthy relationship without doing this type of stuff first. But I do think that if you are in a relationship and you do have tendencies that you're not exactly fond of, maybe you snap really quickly, maybe you don't have patience, maybe you're not feeling super embodied in your feminine energy, it's never too late. You can start working on those things now. You can definitely prioritize making that shift at any point in time in your relationship, and it'll ultimately make your relationship better. Maybe your relationship isn't bad or unhealthy, but it'll take it from healthy to healthier. It'll take it from good to great. It'll take your love from being strong to the strongest it's ever been. You know, I had Heidi D'Amelio on the show, who's been married for 24 years. And she said this past year, she had a marriage glow up. And, you know, so again, it's not like their marriage was bad before, but now it's better because they both got really intentional with each other. They both made a lot of shifts. She said, like, I came into my relationship this year feeling like a new woman. Like, you know, I made so many changes. I got so much more confident. I got better at communicating and so on and so forth. So whatever your issues are that you want to work on, it's never too late. And it doesn't mean that you have to break up and find someone new just because you have things to work on. You can work on it together. You can grow together, which is also why I find it to be a load of absolute bullshit when girls have said, like, you know, a guy that they like or that they're seeing ended it with them because he's like, oh, I have a lot to work on. I need to work on myself. All this stuff, like, boo fucking who? You don't have to end things with someone. You don't have to break up just because you have to work on yourself. You can absolutely work on yourself with a partner by your side. Okay, so don't let these boys fool you. They could do it with you if they wanted to, but clearly they don't. So again, it's never too late. You don't have to be single to do this. You can work on yourself. But for me, this was a really great thing that I got to do before getting into a relationship. And I think it made everything just ultimately better. Like, it made it made us ready at the right time. Like, all of these things. Like, I just feel like every single thing happened exactly when and how it was supposed to. And so I don't think if we would have met even a year before that it would have worked out or would have happened, because I wasn't done. I wasn't ready. And so this made a big change for me in my life. And that, girls, is all we have for today. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, girls.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.